But Roland had been living with the dissolving world long before Ted Brodigan had even dreamed of such a place as Algociento. And he wasn't particularly upset by the way formerly hard and fast facts of life had begun to bend. "About 25 hours from right now," Roland said. "Or a little less." Dinky nodded. "But if you're counting on raging confusion, forget it. They know their places and go to them. They're old hands." "Still," Roland said, "it's the best we're apt to do." Now he looked at his old acquaintance from Magus and beckoned to him. 5. Shimi set his plate down at once, came to Roland, and made a fist.
"Heil, Roland. Will Dearborn that was."
Roland returned this greeting, then turned to Jake. The boy gave him an uncertain look. Roland nodded at him and Jake came. Now Jake and Shimi stood facing each other with Roland hunkered between them, seeming to look at neither now that they were brought together. Jake raised a hand to his forehead. Shimi returned the gesture. Jake looked down at Roland and said,
"What do you want?"
Roland didn't answer, only continued to look serenely toward the mouth of the cave, as if there were something in the apparently endless murk out there which interested him. And Jake knew what was wanted as surely as if he had used the touch on Roland's mind to find out, which he most certainly had not. They had come to a fork in the road. It had been Jake who'd suggested Shimi should be the one to tell them which branch to take. At the time, it had seemed like a weirdly good idea. Who knew why? Now, looking into that earnest, not very bright face and those bloodshot eyes, Jake wondered two things. What had ever possessed him to suggest such a course of action, and why someone, probably Eddie, who retained a relatively hard head in spite of all they'd been through, hadn't told him, kindly but firmly, that putting their future in Shimi Ruiz's hands was a dumb idea. Totally nudgy, as his old schoolmates back at Piper might have said.